Hello? Can anyone around here speak basketball?
There it is.
It's the Confederacy of Dunks Basketball Podcast.
Kyle Lowry. Welcome to the Confederacy of Dunks
Basketball Podcast.
I am your host, Freddie Rivas. And who, sir, are you?
Producer Matt Dunks on the keys, pushing the buttons. Freddie, we're at the season 7 finale. How are you doing?
Wowzers. I am doing pretty good. LeBron won his 4th title.
Wow.
The Lakers won it all. The NBA season is over, and
The bubble has burst.
Well, yeah. The work never stops. We're back at it. We're trying to figure out how the Raptors are going to make it back to the championship. That's what we're doing.
That's right. Yeah. So as I said, this is the season 7 finale. This has been our longest season ever. As you know, fans, listeners of the podcast, our seasons run along with the NBA seasons. And season 7, this is our 45th episode, a record. And usually they end at the end of the playoffs, which usually take place in early June. And then we go into our off-season funhouse episodes, which we will do as of next week. But yeah, it's been almost a full year in this season. It's been a long, weird one, coming out, winning a championship, and then, the post-Kawhi era. It's like, how do you feel about this year overall?
I feel great. It was a really, really, from like an on-court perspective, I think it was really, really fun. All of our players that we wanted to developed infinitely better than we could have hoped. The vets kind of held it together. It wasn't enough. We lost in 7 to a really, really good team. Masai's still here. Mm-hmm. We re-up Nurse. I think things are looking really, really awesome in Raptors land. But there's work to be done. I don't think we're heading into next season as necessarily a formidable contender. But, lots about to happen. We got the draft. We got the off season.
Yeah.
And training camp. And we'll figure out when this new season is going to start as well, right?
And with that will come season 8 of our podcast, which is crazy. But in the meantime, we'll be in the off season funhouse coming at you weekly, business as usual.
Huge. Matt, I got to ask if people want to support us and help us grow, all the good information that people need to know for this podcast, where can they find that? What do they got to do?
It's always a good place to be at dunkspodcast.com because we've got all our links there for everything, our social media, all of our podcatchers. We've even got a link for the Sonar Network, which is the podcast network that we are a part of. Go to thesonarnetwork.com. You can listen to us there, as well as our website, or you can listen to all the other great podcasts that they have on there as well. And I will mention that as you're listening to this today it would be the 14th when this comes out. This is the last day for their contest for their fan artwork. So, doesn't matter which podcast you're doing fan art for, we would love to see some Confederacy of Dunks fan art. You're going to get a pair of $130 Sugio Regent 2 headphones, I think. I believe that's how you say it. Studio. Wow. Studio. And Studio. If you may get picked to get those hot sound speakers. Smooth, very smooth. You can just tag them in your Instagram post of your artwork. Make sure you follow them on Instagram and hashtag it SonarFanArt, and you could be in the running for these sweet headphones. And you know what you need for the winner? You got to cover up them ears, but you also got to cover up that head. And we've got Confederacy of Dunks too. Freddie, I know you got the stock. Do we still got plenty in stock ready to go?
Yeah, I think there. I think it was eight or nine.
Oh wow, we've really gone down a little bit. Okay,
we've gone through some. We're doing it. We're shipping these babies.
I mean, these things are anti-itch compliant. And as Freddie's leaning into the camera now, if you're on the YouTube channel, you'll see that he's very proud and very warm. And what's the itch level out of a 10? One being
10 out of 10. My head's on fire.
Oh my God!
No itch. It's covered in whatsoever. Lice. I'm doing great.
So if you want to get in contact with us, you can send us an email, confederacydunks@gmail.com. We've also got a Shopify. You can order through there. We'll just mail them right to you. Get a toque for the winter, everybody. You got to stay warm. You know, even if you're inside more than you usually are, get the toque, right? Oh, and also, should I say our Patreon as well? Why not?
Might as well, right? Let people know.
Yeah. Dunks Podcast. Check that out on the Patreon. We've got the links at dunkspodcast.com for that as well. And if you can support in any way, we would really appreciate it. And hopefully, we'll...
It's pretty great. If you can't support us in any way, even just take a little bit of time to rate, review. Like iTunes, everyone says it matters. Yeah. So I think it really does.
Yeah. When we've had a lot of great people review, which is great.
I think if you don't get a rating, a review, you might wind up getting your butt kicked.
Yeah. Hey, and if you got some negative stuff to say, that's fine. We did get a 2-star back in the championship run because we didn't switch to an everyday podcast and that's on us. That is on us.
Okay. I think we're basically good to go, but before we just jump right in there, let me say, nothing exactly that I'm going to dive into right now, but, as always, email your city councilors. The fight's not over. Defund the police, Black Lives Matter. And, keep trying to be as good as you possibly can in your, individual community and larger than that as well. But Matt, if you feel like we're ready to rock it and talk some Raptors, NBA, everything, please, would you just give me an okay?
Oh.
Okay, the NBA season is over. It's officially the off season, but we obviously have a lot to talk about, Raptors and NBA and just the world. He hasn't been on the podcast in a long time. I'm super excited to see him. He looks like he's in a palace. I shouldn't say that. He is in a palace. So if you see him, of course, it's a palace. Don't be like me. Don't doubt him. Don't question it. He's been on JFL, HBO, Comedy Network. You probably know his voice from The Debaters. Or if you've ever heard his voice, because it's the best. Give it up as loud as you can, even if you're at home alone. For Arthur Simeon.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while. I'm glad to be back. I'm happy to be back.
It's been way too long. And I think the last time you were on, it was probably at my old High Park house. And now I've moved just one block away.
That's incorrect, Freddie, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. He was last on episode 27 back in February of 2016.
Wow.
Which would have been in my house.
Well, first of all,
it's still somewhere near High Park, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say Matt's dragging me a little bit here, humiliating me. But
so, wrong house, same neighborhood.
Yeah. Same neighborhood ish.
I always forget where this next guest lives. But you know what? I should stop talking about where people live. How about that?
Yeah. Why are you trying to set people up right now?
Yeah. This is no good. In the world of everybody gets doxxed all the time, which is what the world is now, I should stop talking about where people live. But she's amazing. She's an incredible writer. She's written for the Beaverton, Mr. D, This Hour, tons of shit. Give it up as loud as you can. She loves Nurse, which is a little bit weird, for Katherine Nyker. Critical, and I need to just tone it down and be a bit more accepting. And
yeah, you're coming in with a load of spice, just a load of.
A lot of Catherine? Spice. I've literally met people through my love of Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's been a very fruitful crush, I have to say.
What do you mean when you've met people? Like
friends, fellow? Like I've met other women at shows prior to the pandemic who like agreed with me, like, oh, I also love Nick Nurse, and would like come up to me and share their love with me.
And was that a good feeling, or was it one of those things where you felt a little bit like, hey, back off? Like,
No. It was a good feeling. It was a good feeling. I wasn't competitive about it because he is married. So we're all against one woman, and that's his wife. Just kidding. She seems great.
He's married for now.
For now.
His wife is very unsuspecting of this whole crew of women that have amassed.
Yeah. Women in comedy. Real niche.
Well, let's dive right into some Raptors talk. Matt, I know we're no longer the champions. I don't know if you're going to play the champion sting or what you got, but please, whatever Raptor sting you got, give it to me. Okay, let's jump right in. Arthur, to take this question whatever way you want. Gasol is not, it's not super official, but it seems like he's, you know, heading back to Spain to finish out his career. Ibaka, I guess we'll see if the Raptors are willing to pay what he asked for. I think there's like some mutual, you know, want for Ibaka to come back. But he's aging. We have Duan Hernandez. Potentially we bring back Boucher. But other than that, that's kind of it's kind of what we're looking at from like the big man center department. Obviously, OG can do some, he can guard some centers in like a small ball scenario. But what do you see for the future of the Raptors center position? Like, should they target it in the draft? Is it like of high importance, or is it kind of like, no, we can figure it out. It's not a big deal.
Well, it's definitely of high importance, I think, because we have two very small guards in the backcourt. So we kind of need someone in the middle, mostly for rim protection, because I think the offense can sort of figure itself out. At least that's the way Nick Nurse has sort of set the team up to be like, you know, we'll figure out who's going to score in the middle of the play, as opposed to most teams that have a go-to scorer. So I think there's definitely a need for center. I think Serge would be great for another year if he can come back.
Yeah, like even if it's like a bloated contract, it's like steadying.
He's a guy that can shoot relatively okay for a big man, and he can guard the perimeter in ways that most people can't, and he's an amazing shot blocker. So it's one of those things where it's like, if he's focused, he's actually a pretty good guy to have in the middle of the paint. My only problem with him is like he takes so many plays off if he's not involved in the offense.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to sort of like just sell him the idea of like, hey, you're just going to be a defensive guy and occasionally get to shoot threes. He feels like he wants, you know, his own shot.
Yeah, I was just going to chime in with like, it seems like he, you know, you can rely on Serge to like a certain degree. You know, he started a bunch of last year, and then, you know, in the playoffs, Gasol started over him, which a lot of people, you know, I think had a problem with. But just sticking with you, Arthur, for a sec, like, do you think that, like, yeah, well, what's like, just assuming we, yeah, like, I think it's a fair assumption we bring back Serge. What do you think, like, stylistically is his best, like, compliment?
Definitely shot blocking, definitely rebounding, because that's the thing the Raptors need. It's someone to rebound in ways that are disruptive. The praise for Bam Adebayo leading up to this playoffs was because he was very disruptive in his style of rebounding. And it's like, we need that. We, OG and Siakam both are very lacking in rebounding power. And those are the centerpieces for the Raptors moving forward, which is kind of scary because like they can defend when, you know, the ball is in someone's hands, but they both switch off quite often. when the ball is in the air. And now that everyone just wants to, you know, bomb away, you kind of need someone to pick up those
second balls.
So I think Serge does that. He's older, so you'd have to find someone in that realm. I don't think you'd get it in the draft because that's a skill you learn in the league.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're coming in as an amazing rebounder from college, which I haven't seen yet. I think the last person I can think of was maybe Anthony Davis that came in with that kind of rebounding power. Like straight out of the top. Like, it's something that you sort of just learn, that coaches and veteran players have to yell at you enough times for you to remember that someone has to go and pick up the ball if it's not a basket. Yeah. So I think that's the main thing that we would look for, is someone to help, because we got killed on the boards in the playoffs and we shouldn't.
Yeah. And like, we're so good on defense that it was weird because like you could see like, you know, one possession goes by and they get an O-reap and it's kind of like, okay, well, this team's so good on defense that we can stop them again.
Yeah.
And then we stop them again. And then it's like, okay, but they got another O-reap. So eventually you're going to get unlucky and it's going to like kick out to a shooter or whatever. Yeah. Catherine, what do you think about like the future of the center position for the Raptors right now?
I mean, I think Serge is great. Like, I agree with all the points that Arthur made. I do think that Serge easily has another 2 to 3 great years in him left where he can keep up this level of consistency. I don't know if Chris Boucher and Duan Hernandez are the backup centers for us. I mean, Chris Boucher lacks size. And I haven't seen Duan Hernandez play, so I can't really have an opinion on him either way. The one thing I do feel like we lack, if we're looking for a backup center, is speed. Like, especially in the Boston series, it looked like we were a full step slower, to the point where we couldn't rely on our transition offense anymore. And then our half court offense just wasn't there. And I feel like if we are going to make a trade or make a move, yes, we need size because like Arthur said, our back court's really small, but also like, I think we need speed. That's how I feel.
Yeah. And I mean, I agree with all you guys' points. So like, I'll just add in, I feel like some verticality would help too. Like someone who could be used as a lob option, just some kind of like athleticism. Like Mark's just his own kind of like weird brand of like super, you know, he's a big Buddha. He's like this like super IQ slow guy who would box out several people at a time so someone else could get a rebound, which is cool. But yeah, you're not going to bring in whoever we get.
He was like a center guard.
Yeah. He's just his own thing. So I feel like,
which can work because I think that's what Jokic is doing right now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, and if obviously if you can land some weird, like super talent, Jokic too is a great example of someone who like defense isn't all about like raw, you know, power and skill. Cause like, you know, he's still a bit of a turnstile at times, but he's gotten better incrementally, but like for sure throughout his career. Obviously he's like ridiculous on offense, but he's definitely like gotten better and better and better on defense and kind of like uses his size more effectively. What was my next question, Catherine? Okay. It's this one. I'm just thinking about fun kind of like Toronto player traditions. So like Kyle Lowry giving out turkeys on Thanksgiving is like, that's pretty set. He's been doing that for a while. People know that he does it. Like Kyle's awesome. He's a legend. He's going to get a statue, hopefully sooner rather than later. You know, for the Vince fans, they'll remember that Vince actually had a club. So Vince had like this like VIP party club. So, you know, he like, that was his thing in the city. I mean, he did a bunch of stuff too, but.
I mean, it wasn't an annual tradition. It was.
Sorry. Yeah. You know what? It doesn't really fit the question very well, but I was just.
It was called Inside.
Yeah.
I remember those were my clubbing days.
Yeah, exactly. You were trying to sneak in, see if like a young Nick Nurse was there.
Yeah.
Nick Nurse at Vince Carter's club.
He was on a farm in Maine.
Yeah, yeah. Nick Nurse was like,
if he was in Toronto, he would have gone to the club though.
Yeah.
Back in the early 2000s, no doubt.
Oh yeah, Nick Nurse is like just learning. Like he's like basically Neo Matrix, like plugging in basketball.
Yeah, anything, yeah. He would have been making moves you wouldn't like expect out of like his body. Like it would really confusing, but then you'd just be like, oh, this guy's intriguing and he's buying me drinks. You know, I feel like that was his game for like a long time.
And then like the DJ turns it down. It's like, oh my God, the Arkells are here. Nick Nurse and the Arkells are going to play some acoustic guitar. Okay. My question's dumb anyway, so that's fine that we meandered. But yeah, the last part was annual tradition. Amir Johnson used to do the zombie walk, or at least he did it a couple times. And he was a really tall zombie. It was great. Yeah, Pascal starting his, I think it's a 4-year, it might be a 5-year, like his kind of his version of a max. So he's our guy for a little while anyways. What do you want Pascal to get involved with in Toronto? Like what? It can be his own thing or something that's already happens every year.
Well, okay. So Vince Carter did have an annual charity game in the summer.
He did.
So he did have an annual tradish here. I went, it was really fun, thrilling for an exhibition game. I think, okay, so Pascal, I'm trying to recall the origins of the Spicy P name because I recall a quote where he said, I don't like spicy food. I don't need spicy food. I am spicy. And then everyone started calling him Spicy P. But then I've heard other people say other origin stories. And then I think he hated the name for a while. And then decided to double down with his own Nando's hot sauce. Hmm. So I think if he's doubling down on the name, he should continue to do that and just do like a Hot Ones thing, but like for charity.
That's, I mean.
And he should eat spicy food.
Yeah, that's what I like. I love spicy stuff, so. I never bought the like, I'm so personally spicy that I don't want to eat spicy food. I'm like, you should also like spicy. It's good. It's tasty.
I think he was just trying to be cute.
Yeah,
he's just trying. It went way too far.
Arthur, what about you? What's
something? I just want to see. I like the spicy food idea so much. I can't even think of
a better one. Yeah,
yeah, an alternative that would even be that, because that would actually be great. And it's like.
Mine's
the down. Marketing is inbuilt already.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's like, you don't need to change a lot of things like spicy peas, you know, annual, you know, food challenge or whatever for charity would be perfect. I just want that at that event, OG is there giving out scarves. That's all I want.
Yes.
Just to piss Serge off.
Yes.
Also, yeah. I bet not only would it be so fun if OG wore a scarf, I bet he would win the challenge. Like I could see OG just eating spicy food like it's no one's business.
That's and it would be so killing him, though. But you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know.
He
exactly.
only has one face.
It's like, I don't eat food just to spit it out. That's what he says.
I'm just picturing people eating spicy wings with like really itchy scarves on. And they're just like, you know, their faces are getting red and they're just like, it's good. This is like it's a good festival.
Yeah.
Mine was like way less cool or funny. It was basically a combo charity game, because like I know that he, like, you know, grew up playing a bunch of soccer and his brothers all play soccer and stuff, you know, with TFC here. And I will say I'm getting a little bit back into I'm doing some TFC refreshing during COVID, so I feel like, you know, some kind of like Raptors TFC Invitational with maybe some big time soccer players could be
pretty, that'd be cool.
Like, yeah, that'd be very cool, especially like in the summer. That'd be great.
You know what I mean? Like Nash would want to be there, and like the MLS is becoming a place where like more and more of these like big time international stars kind of like go to get the last bag. You know, so like I bet you a ton of these guys would jump in and play.
I don't think Nash would be able to make it because he'd be busy learning basketball from Kyrie.
Okay.
But everyone else would be able to make it.
That's Matt, when you bring this podcast back, please edit like a gong sound in there, because that was a biggie. I didn't know it was like a full Nash plus Kyrie burn coming. That was big. Like the extra Kyrie thing was huge. Matt, do you have any ideas for Pascal, by the way?
Well, yeah, like I thought that he really doesn't have a choice. He does have to lean into his Spicy P name. Yeah. And, but yeah, like, he could, I love the idea of him doing a Hot Ones, and then we'll really get to see if he doesn't like spicy food. Cause he'll be like chugging milk in like the first round, probably, if you're someone that doesn't have a tolerance for spicy food. But yeah, like, I think Pascal, we really need him to, kind of be that guy, have a fun thing that he does kind of on the side, and you know, because he's going to be kind of our centerpiece for a long time now, hopefully.
What about like a big, like, you know, that guy who does like Simon Says at the Raptors game? What if it's like a giant Pascal Says?
What he does during the games, or he's just, or like, just like goes to Trinity Bellwoods and yeah,
or like him and Freddie, peanut butter and jam kind of like comedy duo.
Oh yeah. Something. Yeah. Cause they have the PB and jam thing going.
Yeah.
So. I mean, I think that would be absolutely terrible.
Oh, it would be. That's why I want to see it.
Unless they pay us to be writers, like ghost writers on it, then I'm all for it.
Oh, I was just thinking like peanut butter and jam festival, but then my mind went to, oh man, you're gonna have so many peanut allergies, but that's good for me.
I mean, I've always loved the fact too, that he was almost a priest. So if he wants to lean into that, bring that back, maybe become a priest.
I don't know how he's gonna work that angle, like, but if he could work, like,
especially here, it's like so multicultural, so many different religions and beliefs here.
Just do mass at the, you know, at the Scotiabank before a game, you know, once every four times a season.
Yeah. Every game.
Just lead mass. Yeah. I love that.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm just like sitting there like, do I eat the cracker? Do I not eat the cracker?
Do I stand? Do I sit down?
I don't know what's happening.
You know, let's ditch this problematic anthem and let's bring in a totally unproblematic, like just 21,000 person mass.
Yeah.
Do I get wine with my ticket? What's happening?
Okay, Arthur, let's jump back to kind of like, I guess semi-serious, but I don't know where in the top 10, but it looks like the Raptors or Vegas has the Raptors somewhere in the top, you know, third of the league next year. Do you, like, does that sit right with you? Do you think we're better than that? Are we top five or are we worse?
I mean, it's difficult to sell now because we don't know who's, you know, we don't know what Freddie's situation is going to be. We don't know who they're going to bring in. As the team stand right now, I think we are a top five team. Maybe definitely top 10 for sure.
Yeah.
I can think of maybe three or four teams right now that I'd be genuinely worried about. And that would be the Lakers, obviously, if they are coming back as they are right now, because they're also on a bunch of 1-year contracts.
Right.
So I don't know who's going to come back, but the Lakers
and Davis might
right
leave.
Now. Yeah. So Lakers, Boston and Miami are the three teams that I really worry about, because they're the ones that are almost like the Raptors in a way, in terms of like, you don't quite know. I mean, I guess the Lakers, you know who to defend, but they're all really good defensively. They can spread out and play.
Right.
The teams that people sort of put ahead of, like, and Denver. Denver is like, you have to guard five people, which is insane. I don't think any other team has that. And if they get better, they're like a move away from really being a problem in the league.
Yeah, you would assume the Rockets are probably going to like have like fall apart or not fall apart.
I never worry about the Rockets. Like, who's going to play defense is the thing. It's like they're
in a spot, man. The Rockets are in a spot.
I don't worry about the Rockets the same way. I don't worry about Milwaukee the same way. I don't worry about even the Clippers. I'm not that terrified of. Like if the Clippers had come out of the West and they were going to face the Raptors, I would have started planning a parade for sure. More than I would with the Lakers.
I love it. I love the confidence. I'm kind of with you. Like, I feel like I said all year that like I thought this was the year, like the NBA Jam year, the year of like 10 or 11 contenders, and largely the healthiest team was going to win.
Right.
I think the Raptors ended up being pretty healthy and not winning, but Boston, I think you have to say everything looks good going forward. Like almost everyone on that team, you know, besides maybe Kemba, is going to be better next year. I think that's like, with Miami, it's a bit of a different question with Dragic and Butler is 31, but I'm not like worried about him in any way, but, there's like some, I think they're more similar to us, and Denver, totally agree. Clippers, totally agree. Lakers, you got to give it to them. Catherine, where are you at on this? Is there any teams we're like leaving out? Like, I think Philly's a bit weird too, right?
No, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. The Raptors are better than Philly. Yeah. Come on. This is a Raptors podcast.
Yeah.
Are either one of you?
It's not even about a Raptors podcast. Like, I said this at the beginning of the season when everyone put Philly behind Milwaukee as the favorites, with Boston and Toronto as maybes. And I'm like, I don't know which basketball you're watching, but there's no way in the world I'm scared of a team that has a non-shooting guard and a somewhat hefty center. Like, this just doesn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. I think an unfortunate like injury in the bubble, but I don't think it was looking super good anyways. Right. Like they, I don't think everything was about to come together. But yeah, Catherine, where are you at on this? Like Raptors kind of like, are you kind of like with me and Arthur? We're like probably top five for sure. Top 10.
I'm not entirely sure about that, to be honest. Oh, okay. I might be the enemy of the episode. I'm not entirely sure.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. This is the thing. The Eastern Conference, in my opinion, A, kind of sucks, and B, is completely wide open. So, like, we don't know how good or not good Golden State's going to look like next year. We have no idea if the Brooklyn Nets are going to gel or not. I think the Dallas Mavericks are going to improve. Like, I think this whole league right now is really unpredictable going into next season. So I think maybe on paper, we might be a top 10 team because we'll be in the top four of the Eastern Conference. But I don't know if that really means we're a top 10 team. Like for all we know, right, New Orleans could improve. Memphis, right, could improve. There's, right, just so many teams that have a high ceiling right now. And I think the Raptors ceiling is actually quite questionable. Like, we really don't know what next year is going to look like. We don't know if we're going to be able to sort of run it back with this like defending title team or not. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so many variables right now. So I can't confidently say we're a top five team. I think we might be a top 10 team on paper, but I don't know if we'll actually be a top 10 team.
Okay. A little bit.
Yeah, I agree with you. And that's why I was hesitant, because like the off season started yesterday and there's going to be so many moves. And I agree with you. My whole thing about Golden State is that people underestimated how much the others really helped that system.
I agree.
And it's something that you can't teach. Like, it's something that, you can't teach. You can't sort of like reciprocate, like just sort of, forget the word, like replicate yeah, in just like a moment. Because it's like, if you're going to use young players don't want to be decoys. Golden State somehow convinced, six or seven players to come in and basically be decoys on offense and play defense, which David West was willing to do, and Sean Livingston was willing to do, and Andre Iguodala were willing to do, who in their own right were really good players, but were also like, yeah, we're on our way out, we'll do all this, the David Lees of this world and stuff like that. Like
Barbosa,
young players, like, you're going to tell Wiggins to run up and down the floor 5-6 times and not touch the ball? and you're going to expect him to be plugged in? Like, I just don't know how that works.
Well, I think with Wiggins, it could work out because, I mean, let's be real. He's had a lot of humble pie. Yes. You know what I mean? He's had a lot of humble pie. Him being the man was
Maple
or number two. Yeah, like it's been proven to not work. And I think he would be willing to take a step back and learn and have a new role, learn from these guys and maybe try to find himself in that process. I think he will use this as a redeeming opportunity. Also,
this isn't that way.
Yeah, they have the number two draft pick. And they could trade that pick for somebody as well. So they have like, I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Wow. Is this a Golden State pod?
Wow. I'm just saying they could, they're like, there's teams that are going to be in the top 10 that we haven't thought about in a while.
Well, totally. I mean, like, you know, I think a team like even OKC is pretty volatile because it's like, are they going to trade Paul?
Yeah, we don't know.
Get like a Simmons or like, or, you know, is there going to be like a blockbuster Milwaukee trade? Like, I don't think Milwaukee after this offseason, you know, Giannis is saying a bunch of nice things, but he still hasn't signed his like supermax. So he's still, you know, all the talk is going to be about where's he going. So I think Milwaukee will probably act fairly desperately and yeah, maybe get a Chris Paul or something like that.
I mean, they should act desperately, but are they? I mean, they kept their coach. Like that's, I don't know.
Yeah,
like they kept a coach that refused to make adjustments when everyone and their mother was screaming at him to like put Giannis on the floor for more than like 35 minutes a game. Like why else are we like, what moment are we waiting for? I don't know. I don't have faith in the Bucks.
Catherine, Bud's system is not broken. They were supposed to be, they're supposed to lose to Miami in five. It's all part of the plan and, don't worry. Like we don't know what Mike Budenholzer knows. Okay. So right. You'll see all this really embarrassing losing is going to add up to something, I think.
Yeah.
Although as Raptors fans, it kind of did. Okay. Let's kind of hit up some NBA stuff. Maddie, I don't know if you're ready with an NBA sting for me. I don't know if it's an Adam Silver tugboat or what you got, but please, whatever you got, give it to me.
National Basketball Association.
Yep, you always got to tell people what NBA stands for, just in case.
It's important. Some people don't know. Some people don't know.
That's true.
And, you know, I came in too hard for this episode. So
also, can you just mention that we're recording this at like 6 p.m.?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's like 6:37. We're having a good like night, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like if it looks bright, it's because I have a several ring lights in my house.
Right.
Yeah, so does Arthur.
Yeah.
Yeah, so don't worry about that. 7:30 PM, no worries. Catherine, let's go to I almost don't even want to mention it because I feel like it's there's so many different ways to approach like the MJ versus LeBron discussion. And obviously I'm not one of those people that it's like, it's, you know, there is no discussion because, you know, LeBron did just like, it keeps getting closer and, you know, whatever your opinion is. But I think I'm a bit more interested in LeBron's contemporaries right now. And kind of like, I'm just trying to appreciate every little bit of LeBron before I'm like, okay, he's done. And I'm comparing him to MJ. Cause I think we'll all have a long time to do that. And you know, LeBron's not going to play forever, but yeah, well, with all that kind of meandering aside, we've seen, you know, Giannis just got back-to-back MVPs. Harden got an MVP, was a runner-up like three times. Steph got back-to-back MVPs all during, well, you know, LeBron's reign. KD got an MVP. Derrick Rose was probably like the first, like, you know, maybe LeBron fatigue MVP. He first went to Miami. You know, LeBron's still the king. And I don't know if you think he's the best player in the world, but regardless of if you do or not, he's on top. So yeah, my question is like, who's the next person, like, or who's the person that takes the crown from him? and never gives it back. Whether even like just like LeBron doesn't have the ability to take it back. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it's hard because I actually think the Lakers currently are probably the early favorites to repeat based on what the current landscape is. Like a lot can obviously change before the next season starts. Yeah. I mean, if I had to guess right now, I think it might be the Dallas Mavericks, because Luka has been so unbelievably good in the first 2 years. Like people are already making MVP talks in his like second year in the league, and Kristaps Porzingis, who I don't like the Mavericks. So it's like, I don't even like that this is my answer, frankly, but like they have size to match up against Anthony Davis. And a lot of teams have been building towards like how do we compete against Golden State? And then now it's like the Lakers are big again. And it's like suddenly for the first time in years, oh, we need a big guy again. And a lot of teams have moved away from that, but Dallas currently still has that. So if they had to match up against each other in the playoffs, I think that would be a riveting series. And I mean, maybe the Mavericks need a few more key pieces. We don't know if Porzingis can stay healthy or not, but like I could see them having a very strong run for a long time.
Yeah, no, I think Luka is a really, really good, like, you know, answer for this hypothetical, because it doesn't even have to be next year, right? It could kind of just be like, it's getting closer and getting closer, you know, maybe even someone, you know, like someone else wins the MVP and it's still not LeBron, but he's saving himself for the playoffs and he can, you know, he keeps winning, right? Because like, I think as long as the Lakers are relevant as a title favorite, LeBron's going to be in that discussion. Even if he doesn't win the MVP, as like, is he still the best, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think the drop, or, you know, I mean, please jump in. But like, I don't think the drop off is anywhere near that evident right now. Like he's still like that. Like what did he just win the championship on like a 40 point triple double, like with defense too. So it's not like the Cleveland era LeBron where he's kind of coasting a bit on D. It's crazy. Arthur, where are you at on like?
I agree in terms of Luka's development has surprised even me, because I was one of those people who was not buying into the hype.
Me too.
Until I watched the playoffs, and I was like, okay, this guy is pretty good. I don't think there's anyone, because the way I see it is, if you were to look at how LeBron came in, the league was kind of like Tim Duncan and Kobe Bryant. Those were the two people that were ahead of everyone. And they came in with a bunch of dudes that were pretty good in their own right. You know, Allen Iverson, Kevin Garnett, you know, Paul Pierce. Like there was a generation of people that came in that were pretty good, but Kobe and Kevin Garnett, and I guess Shaq, took over as the best players, but there was no one person. Like it depended on who you asked. Like, obviously, Laker Nation would ride for Kobe. And then everyone else would be like, no, I think, like, you know.
You got some, you know, Duncan there, Dirk.
Yeah, and yeah. Dirk and all those people. And so, and then when LeBron comes in, he's this hyped kid and then actually lives up to the hype. I haven't seen anyone. Maybe Kevin Durant is the next sort of after LeBron, who has come in and actually lived up to the hype that they came in with pre-draft. It's been Kevin Durant, maybe Anthony Davis. Kawhi was unknown when he came in. Paul George didn't really like hype people up before he came in. So, well,
yeah. And to add to that, like nobody had to deal with hype at like early high school. You know what I mean? Like their hype all started after high school.
Yeah. And until Zion, like, you know, and Zion has a long way to go to get to that point. So I don't feel like anyone's going to take it away from LeBron, because I think LeBron has at least 3 or 4 more years left. And whether he leaves as a top player might be debatable, but he'll still be top 10, which will still make whoever has the crown kind of like, you know, it's like one of those things where when he's walking away, like 7 different people are going to be fighting for this, right? With yes. No one really emerging, because Luka will be there, yes, but so will Donovan Mitchell, so will Jamal Murray in terms of like guards who are like exciting to watch. But then you'll have Anthony Davis still in the league, who I think is a really amazing player. You'll have Kawhi maybe if his knees hold up, and you'll have KD if he comes back in any sort of shape. You know, so you have a bunch of people, and then Steph, obviously. But Steph was different. Like when people talk about like building around Golden State, it's very interesting because Steph kind of convinced the world that what he does is easy, right? Like people are like, "Oh, I can do it.
Yeah,
teams can do it. We can build teams with like a guy who shoots threes whenever he feels like it." And as Portland and Houston have learned, there's a lot more that goes into it. Just a guy who can shoot threes.
I'll also add Atlanta is learning that it's like, okay, this is kind of hard to, like, Trae Young's good, but this is not the easiest thing to build around when around a chucker. Like,
absolutely not. So, I don't see anyone taking the crown because no one has the full set of skills that LeBron has. Everyone has a weakness. You know, like when Anthony Davis decided to score, he gave up on his rebounds. When Giannis was put, you know, when they say boxing him, like, you know, sort of putting pressure on him to figure it out in the half court, he couldn't shoot. Like, there's, I just don't see anyone who has the full set of skills outside. Yeah, again, Luka. Luka is a guy who's like shown that he can create and score at the same time without hurting either aspect of his game.
Yeah. So, first of all, I completely agree with you, Arthur. I feel like, you know, when MJ left, it was kind of like, you know, the search for the next MJ began. Right. And I think it will be a bit more like that with LeBron. Like, I don't think someone will you know, rip out his heart and take the title, like sort of thing, or take the crown. And the only other person that, you know, like neither of you mentioned, so I'm kind of just curious, because I feel like he, you know, there's some glaring like shooting issues, but I feel like Giannis is a pretty special defender overall player. Like he definitely has some like Shaq vibes. Like, you know, Andy's 24. Do you feel like, you know, Arthur, you were saying like Milwaukee's not doing it for you. Like is Giannis a part of that? Like, or is he kind of like,
I just don't see how you learn how to shoot in a very short amount of time. Like, I think he's amazing. But unless he picks up a mid-range, people are always going to just put people in front of him. Mm-hmm. And as we saw against teams, you know, against the Raptors last year and against Miami this year, it's a problem for him. If you have a Bam Adebayo, if you have a Kawhi Leonard, if you have someone who's big enough and strong enough. Now, granted, there's maybe five players in the league that can do that. So.
Yeah. But some teams have like a collect or a few guys who can,
you know, team. Yeah, play. But you have to throw enough people at him to sort of mitigate that. But like, that's the thing about Giannis that pauses me. Like, I think he's incredible. He's obviously very athletic. He's obviously good on defense. But unless he develops a very reliable mid-range shot, he will always have that. That would be the scouting, you know, report on him, is just put someone strong enough to stay in front of him and keep him away from the basket. And then you limit all his opportunities.
We definitely have two playoffs in a row. We've seen just that. So,
which doesn't work for LeBron.
For me, like, I don't mean to oversimplify it, but to me, it's just, he lacks that killer instinct. And I think that's what's going to separate him from somebody like LeBron. It's just like even like Shaq. Shaq is a top 10 player. Shaq never had a mid-range shot. You know what I mean? Right. But Shaq won. Like, Shaq was a winner.
Shaq was his own thing too.
And he wanted to win just as bad as all those other greats. And I haven't seen that in Giannis yet. And I mean, I agree that he needs to develop more of a mid-range game. Like, definitely agree. But just, where is that killer instinct? Where is your will to win no matter what? I haven't seen it.
Okay, sticking with you, Catherine, just our last NBA question here. And I think you and Arthur basically, you know, both hit on it to some degree. And that's like this whole small ball era, right? We have Houston went all in. I was talking earlier, like OG Yeah, I spent minutes at center, which never would have happened like 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. AD looked unstoppable. So is it that simple? Is it like teams are starting, they're looking at the Lakers being like, we need someone to slow this guy down, or two guys to slow him down. Like, if you're G-State, are you like, no, we'll run him off the court. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm wondering about the kind of like the overall style clash. Did this Lakers championship like mark an end of an era, do you think?
Well, I think the return of the big man is going to be one of the strongest narratives going into next season. I think we're going to hear that a lot. And I think there's going to be a lot of backlash towards small ball basketball, although I think teams will be able to adjust to those kinds of lineups to match up defensively here and there, just like you mentioned the Raptors did. But we weren't like a small ball team. Mm-hmm. But with that being, I mean, with Golden State, like, the Golden State is Golden State. They have their identity. They have two of the greatest three-point shooters of all time. I don't see them changing who they are, but right. I see other teams trying to adjust, trying to see who they can have match up against Anthony Davis, because he's proven to be that guy. He's mm-hmm. proven that if you can't match up against him, you're done.
I mean, yeah, like if you're the Clippers, right, and you're like, okay, we're going to keep Kawhi and we're going to keep George, you're definitely looking at the Lakers being like, all right, but then we need someone or some dudes beyond, you know, Zubac. Is it Zubac or Zubats? I think it's Zubac with a C.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, Arthur, what do you think about this kind of like...
I agree, and I think...
Copycat, you know, stuff.
Catherine mentioned it is a thing that I think as basketball fans, we either take for granted or we forget is the fact that you have two of the best shooters we've ever seen
yes.
playing on the same team at the same time. This is like Reggie Miller and Ray Allen being on the same team
yes.
and claiming that small ball is a thing. Like, I don't think there was ever a small ball era. I think it was Golden State era, which mm-hmm. was... We're going to put Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, and Harrison Barnes before, obviously, Kevin Durant got there. We're going to put these five small guys on the court, and we're going to figure it out, except they don't have to rebound because every shot that Steph and Clay make, they're going in.
I know,
And when Houston is a perfect example. They built a team of like, we're just going to have shooters on the floor. I'm like, PJ Tucker is not Klay Thompson. Okay. Yes. James Harden might be Steph in terms of how often he can make them, mm-hmm. but you don't have anyone else. And if you have small guys on the court, no one, again, going back to offensive and defensive rebounds, if there's no one picking up that ball, you guys are going to be in trouble. Like, there was a Golden State era, I agree, and they made it work, but they made it work because they have two of the best shooters ever. And that's something, you can't replicate. That's something you can't just make up. There's not a bunch of... If shooting was just about, like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and put up, you know, 1,000 shots and become better, everyone would be able to do it. But no one... It's something so innate to that talent mm-hmm. that we take for granted. And sort of minimize what Clay and Steph have done to make that team work. And that's why I worry about how they're going to build it again, because again, you kind of need pieces around them that will allow them, especially for Clay, because Steph can shoot that ball from wherever. He has the handles and the skill set to create his own shot. Clay Thompson doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, he just doesn't. He can't dribble the ball, you know, with his head up, and he's not crossing over anyone. So it's like, that's why I worry about Golden State. I'm like, you have to find people that can help create that thing. So I never thought there was a small ball era. I thought there was a Golden State era. And like you said, now people have to build for all these big guys that are really, really good. Porzingis, Giannis, AD, even like Kawhi, I'll put him in that sort of range. Like Jokic, like a Embiid bunch of big dudes. Mm-hmm. that are really, really good at what they do. And you have a bunch of talented wings as well, you know, that could, I guess, work in small ball, but mostly work the way the NBA worked as always, with having amazing, like, perimeter players like a Jason Tatum, or, you know, and all those other guys.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it totally on the head. And like, as we, you know, go through a particular era in basketball, I think the tendency is to want to understand it and define it as quick as we can. And I think it's a really kind of interesting take thinking about the era of small ball. It's like, well, maybe actually it was just this really, really specifically good team and they played their five best players and no one could handle that. And
right.
Those players particularly could just shoot the hell out of the ball. And yeah, sure. Try and do that. But you know, you could put Trae Young and Buddy Hield on the same team, but it might not be the same result. And, you know, not to mention Draymond, who kind of like really did stuff with the, you know, power forward center position, which I think was kind of like nuanced and important for that squad. But
Draymond is the only all-star we've made an all-star based purely on effort.
Oh yeah. Well, and you know, he has some pretty like elite passing, but it is like, yeah, he doesn't do the craziest. He doesn't play flashy. Like
no.
He has all those, like he, like the best Draymond stat line is always like 7 points, 7 rebounds, 7 assists, 7 steals, 7 turnovers. Cheers.
Yeah.
I mean, the crazy thing with them, it's like, I mean, Steph hardly had any playing time last season. I think he might have played a total of like 2 weeks or so. And then Klay Thompson went out at the end of last year. By the time this next season starts, they're going to go almost 2 whole years without playing NBA basketball. Like, that's wild.
That is wild.
This break in general is just so...
Yeah, I mean, like, you're talking... I mean, I don't think the NBA is going to start in January. I think it's going to be later. I think it's going to be closer to, like,
early... You don't think so? Do you think they're in a bubble?
Well, what I've read is that the owners are hoping to have fans, which I don't think is realistic at all. But yeah. I think they're going to hold out just in case it is possible. Concede right. to the fact that it's not possible and then come up with some form of a semi bubble or like a 4-tier bubble between divisions or something.
Right. It's probably kind of like an insurance based thing.
Yeah. So maybe we won't have it again until like March. Like I know they want to do a full 82 regular season thing, which is complicated because if there's no fans, there's no home court advantage. What are people playing for?
Right.
So it's all going to be very interesting. But just going back to the Golden State talk, again, 1.5 to 2 years without NBA basketball. Same with Kevin Durant. I mean, it's wild. I don't know if we've ever seen anything really like it with so many of the biggest stars in the league like this.
Yeah, and it's a good thing for them because they get to heal up. And then just to bring it back to the Raptors, it's one of the things that I worry about the Raptors because right now, as it stands, we don't have people that can shoot. We don't have, like... Watching us struggle to get any sort of consistent shooting, whether it's from behind the arc or even the mid-range, was kind of depressing because we are, and I still say this, I still believe this in many ways, we are, if not the best defensive team in the league, maybe number two.
Yeah, I think we are the best defensive team.
Like just the ability to be able to switch people easily and not give up tons of points in the paint, but that means nothing if you're just throwing up bricks on the other side. Like, absolutely. Yeah. It was kind of like one of those things where it's like, I want to have some sort of consistent shooting to come into the game. Or, like, you just hope that Siakam works on the yips that he went through during the playoffs and just comes back. Even at a 10% more clip, it would make the Raptors way more dangerous.
I'm sure they'll all be like just like locked in a room with Matt Thomas, and they'll be like, Matt Thomas, you are going to train these guys to shoot like you do.
Yeah,
and this is what we're doing.
Well, that's the big elephant in the room with the Raptors right now, right? Is like, what's offense. Going on with Siakam? Is he going to find his way again? We've invested our entire future into this guy. And right. I know everybody just wants to be really supportive and all that, myself included. There's no point in hating on the guy if I'm rooting for him at the same time. Like a lot of people on the internet are just kind of dumb, but it is worrisome. I will say
it's fair.
I'm concerned,
but it's fair, but it's something that I said leading up to, you know, even the championship run. And again, maybe I was a bit biased being both a Raptors fan and an African immigrant, but a lot of the conversation worried me leading up to where people were like, oh, he only started playing basketball 4 years ago or 3 years ago, or 16 minutes ago. That's when he picked up a basketball for the first time. There was such condescending conversations around it. Mm-hmm. And I knew as it was happening that that is the same thing that they're going to do to tear that man down, mm-hmm. you know, because right. the truth of the matter is if you're watching the game and if you watch and Giannis has it as well a little bit, is that if the game doesn't come naturally to you, if you learned it in a book, there's a much bigger difference than learning it, like absorbing it as you grow up. You know,
right.
same thing like with, when we're talking about like shooting. Steph grew up with Dale Curry, just sort of following him around and just naturally learned how to pick up a basketball and throw it at the net. Like even when Steph is missing, the ball is around the hoop. You never see like completely terrible, terrible Steph Curry shots. Like unless he's desperate or he's just sort of winging it. And you watch Siakam's game and it's like all the progress he's made, they're just moments within a game where he pulls off a move that you're like, oh, you didn't learn this game when you were 8 or 7 years old. And there's decisions that don't come naturally to you, which is the advantage all these AAU players have, mm-hmm. is they play from like 7, maybe even younger. And they just learn natural things where they see a defender. Like so many times Siakam has shaken a defender and doesn't realize it. And then sort of, especially when he's in the paint, he'll shake a defender and then go back into the contact where it's like, no, the guy was gone. Like you had free reign, but it's because he's learned it in a textbook as opposed to learning it in as on a playground.
Yeah.
That's an excellent point.
Totally. And it's kind of like that natural, like trick shot flow. You can see a guy like, you know, Trae Young or, you know, Chris Paul have that, like that supernatural skill. And, you know, it's part of the conversation with Siakam in general, like, our, you know, and us building this team around someone who is like, quote unquote, like raw or like really good on defense. And like, I think, you know, we've come a long way from the like DeRozan era where, you know, Siakam's putting up like fairly equivalent offensive numbers and, you know, blows DeRozan out of the water defensively. Like Siakam's, I would say, a top 10, top 15 defender in the NBA easily, and probably will be for the next like 5-6 years. But at the end of the day, that's like sometimes not enough from the one specific player. But we're going to have forever to talk about Siakam. Let's jump into some quickish questions. Maddie, I don't know if you're ready. I hope I'm not catching you off guard, but if you got some quickish questions for me, give it to me.
Quickish questions.
Never off guard. Okay. I feel like everyone knows how this works. I'm going to stumble through some questions. I might drop a comma or a question mark even. It will be confusing in the best case scenario, but your job is to answer the question as fast as you possibly can. That's the game. Sound good?
All right.
Okay. Oh yeah. I should say, no phone a friend. And that's right. For you, Matt.
Thank you.
Okay. let's do Catherine, Arthur, Matt. All right, here we go. Catherine,
mm-hmm.
The NBA draft is 5 weeks away. The Raptors pick 29th. Do they make any moves?
No. We've got good scouts who know who to pick that deep into the draft.
Okay. Arthur, would you give up 6 months of your life, meaning you die 6 months earlier than you would have, in exchange for the ability to dunk a basketball?
I have dunked a basketball.
Oh, take that, Adam Christie.
So no, I would not do that.
Well, it's funny because, you know, I answered right away yes.
Yeah, I mean, really? Pardon me?
Sorry, just to Freddie, you would actually give up 6 months of your life to dunk a basketball?
I think so.
That is ridiculous.
If I couldn't, I probably would think about it for sure. But wow. I mean,
it would have
days
to
are
be
long over. Gone now. But yeah.
I mean, I would give up 6 months of my life to play in like the WNBA or something, but to dunk?
Guys, come on.
Okay. I hijacked that.
I'm sorry, but I had to. I don't want anyone giving up their lives.
Matt, this is good. Catherine's going to love this.
Catherine, apologize. You're right.
I said it was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And there's a follow-up question. Matt, you can answer this. How many months/years would it take for it not to be a no-brainer? So for me, 6 months, no issues. For you, what's a no-brainer like? You'll cut off X amount of time of your life to be able to dunk.
How much time am I going to give up?
10 years? What are you talking?
Just to dunk?
Just to dunk.
I mean, I'll do a month. I'll take a month off.
Okay.
You guys are crazy. All
right. Six is nuts.
What do you mean, like giving up your life, like being in prison or something?
No, honestly, it's like you're. No, it's like you know exactly how long you're gonna live, and then they just chop 6 months off.
Adam is gonna be thrilled with what he's done to the segment, and this is his question too.
Freaking Adam.
So, I'd give up 5 minutes.
Yeah, Catherine. That's the right answer.
Like this, I can understand people. Like Adam is a tall dude. Adam hasn't dunked a basketball.
Honestly.
What a sad human being.
I really hope he's listening now.
Yeah, Catherine, isn't he 6'7"?
Is the key to LeBron's GOAT claim that he dragged a worse team to the finals, 2007 Cleveland Cavs with Larry Hughes, Drew Gooden, Jonas Sokauskas, Sasha Pavlovich, than Jordan ever did?
It's just one of many, many things. One of many, yes.
Okay. I like that answer. Here's another little follow-up. Adam just said he also had Eric Snow, which I think he felt bad about.
Shout out.
Arthur. This is... Okay, Adam's tearing this up. This is an all play.
Dear.
Question for all guests. What is your default order at Wendy's? Arthur?
I know this one.
Wendy's, I guess, the chicken sandwich?
Chicken sandwich? Matt?
That is correct. The spicy chicken, medium fry, and a medium Diet Coke, baby.
Wow, Matt.
That's Catherine? The default.
I'm a vegetarian, so...
Oh.
So you love Wendy's.
Fries.
I haven't been to a Wendy's in a long time. I recall a baked potato.
Oh, yeah.
I recall the Frosty.
Yeah.
Yep, Frosty, no worries.
And just, or maybe I would get fries and dip them in the Frosty.
Baked potato sure. And a Frosty, I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'll do
that. Work.
That's my
order. I'm usually a spicy chicken sandwich with a junior bacon because those are always...
Whoa.
Like they're like $1.50. I love
you're them. You're a two-burger guy.
Hey. Crazy. Okay, Arthur, how much have you already missed hearing Kitchener, Ontario on a national U.S. broadcast?
I've missed it quite a bit. mainly because our friend Rob Bebenek, who you guys are sort of familiar with, listens on as a very funny comedian here in Toronto. His claim to any sort of fame is, I went to the same high school as Jamal Murray, even though he's probably like 14 years older than me. I'm like, that's not the same thing. Just because you're in the same building.
Yeah, it's a large passage apart, of time.
You know, because when you say I went to high school with someone, you were there at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, you saw them in the halls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's shameful,
but I've missed it because up until that Kitchener, Ontario... glow up, as the kids say, it was really nothing for them to celebrate, you know. So
yeah, I agree.
I miss it.
Matt.
Yeah.
Since the end of the season, playoffs were played in the bubble.
Yeah.
The Scotiabank Arena has basically been empty for the past 7 months.
Wow.
Did Sorta Shawarma take the time off to work on itself and become fully actualized shawarma, or are they unrecognizable shawarma at this point?
Yeah, no, I think they took the time to be even more sorta, you know, like.
Oh, good. Double down.
Double down on the sorta. I think so for sure.
Perfect.
You think it's going to be a double sorta? Like at the, on the side?
Just like sorta with more question marks?
Going to be a lot of hot lettuce, a lot more hot lettuce.
Yeah, we need that. Catherine. Canada still has to get through an Olympic qualification tournament for men's basketball. Who's in your starting lineup?
Can I name five Canadian basketball
I hope
players?
So.
That's hilarious. That's so funny.
Okay, well, there's obviously Jamal Murray.
Kelly Olynyk.
Shai Gilchrist-Alexander. Kelly Olynyk is in the starting lineup. Chris Boucher is probably off the bench. Who's our power forward? Lou Dort's a small forward.
Tristan
Thompson.
I guess it would have to be Tristan Thompson. Yeah.
Brooks
Wiggins off the bench.
Yeah. Ooh.
Wiggins off the
bench. He doesn't want to play.
Yeah, screw him.
You know what? Barrett Jr.'s got to start because his dad's
And maybe I think O'Shea Brissett was maybe making the team.
Ooh, that'd be nice. Toronto guy.
Samuel
Dalembert for some veteran presence on the
Whoa. Bring in Dalembert. Yeah, like just get him to fight with Leo Routens again.
Yeah.
Arthur, who would be a good fit to replace the intangible qualities, mentorship, basketball IQ, parade, bus, partying, that Marc Gasol brought to the table? Doesn't have to be a big man or somebody currently in the NBA. Is it Dalembert?
I was going to go J.R. Smith, obviously.
That'd be good. He's already
brought that energy so many times. It doesn't have to be basketball. For Toronto, you know what? Jamal McGlure.
Wow.
Be already like, on like, the team. You don't need to go
coaching
far.
Coaching anymore? You're
yeah.
playing.
Yeah.
I like that. Big Cat. Matt, this one's for you. The writer's saying, I started this topic on another inferior page to this one. You can work off this question. Can the Lakers repeat if they add another big piece?
Yeah.
What's a nice piece?
What's a nice piece to add to the Lakers? Well, I don't know how well this is going to fit, but I think he's got a good heart and he deserves to be an LA guy that can go home and play for his home team. I would like to see DeMar DeRozan on the Lakers.
Wow. DeMar, some DeMar love.
I don't know how he'll fit, but I think, you know.
Oh, I think that's a great
fit. You think it's a good fit?
No, that's a great fit. Yeah. The number three option would be incredible.
Incredible. I agree.
Catherine. What are you going to do now that the NBA season is over?
Oh, well, not to throw in an early plug, but I do have an NBA podcast and I'm determined to keep it going until at least mid-December. So I'm still.
There's a lot there, though.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to be consuming a lot of NBA just like content between like leading up to the draft, free agency, maybe learning more than five Canadian players to talk about.
What's his name? Ronald House? What's the kid's name in Houston who got kicked out of the bubble?
Oh, Daniel House.
Daniel
House. Canadian?
No, I was going to say that's an episode on its own.
Oh, yeah. Someone's going to put their foot in their mouth or do something stupid. So that'll be great. And then also there is the Oscar Pistorius 30 for 30 documentary.
Oh, wow.
Which I am so excited about. I'm really looking forward to that doc.
Whoa.
And before the bubble started, I was just doing like a classic movie phase. Like I was just watching one movie a night, just catching up on movies that I've missed out on over the years. So that's what I'll be up to.
Love it. Doesn't get quicker than that, folks.
that was really long. Sorry.
I'm just kidding. Arthur, the last question. Max Kerman of the Arkells, if you didn't know, and Dr. J of the NBA were just named to the board of directors for Nick Nurse's charitable foundation. Who are you adding to yours?
Ooh. Oh. That's you've stumped me. Who am I adding to the board of directors of my foundation? I'm bringing in Masai.
Mm. Great.
Because I feel like he's a guy who has so many contacts and a guy who's just gonna make it get stuff done.
Oh yeah, he's big.
I am bringing Masai Ujiri. I'm bringing in. Good Lord. Who am I bringing?
You should bring in Freddie Rivas.
Yeah,
I should bring in Freddie. No, I will not.
I guess okay. You know what? Fair enough.
I'll bring Thomas.
I do have time.
The remaining
Thomas Rivas.
Gonna bring my brother. Wow.
The remaining members of the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yeah. If we're gonna go music, I'm bringing in Beyonce.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
If he's gonna have the Akels, I'm gonna bring in Beyonce. I'm definitely bringing in Rihanna.
Whoa.
Just you know, heavy hitters.
Yeah.
And then I'm bringing in for the sake of just sort of balancing it out because I feel. Like I should make it a bit diverse. I'm gonna bring in Steve Nash.
Whoa.
Yeah, he's always the best diversity hire. Yeah. Like, if you wanna just like inject some positivity and you're like,
where can I get it?
Yeah, that's good stuff. Wow. Steve Nash, that's diversity right there. You nailed it. Guys, that's the pod. Thanks, everyone, for listening so much. Catherine and Arthur, thank you so much. Catherine, I'll go to you first. What's up? You know, where can people listen to your podcasts? Or what else do you want to plug?
My podcast is called Buckets and Tea NBA Podcast. I basically rant about the NBA every Monday, so check that out. You can find me on social media at @itsme_Catherine, which is spelled CATHRYN. Blame my parents, and yeah, good times.
Sweet. What about you, Arthur? What's going on?
I am mostly at home. So you can find me there if you know where I live.
Love it.
I'm Arthur Simeon on all the socials. I have one show coming up at Paulson Pier at the City View Drive-In in 2 weeks, October 24th. It's an outdoor show. You get to enjoy it from the comfort of your car. So it's social distance and it's safe in these times. Tickets are on sale right now. Other than that, come to the crib and let's watch sports.
Love it. So, you know, either safely watch Arthur in a socially distanced manner or just come right into his place, hang out
in the crib, yeah.
And watch some sports. I also feel like we've advertised for this comedy show accidentally 2 weeks in a row. I don't know if you're on the same show as Adam.
Yes, he's hosting, yeah.
So yeah, folks, we're really, I don't know who else is on the show, but they're going to be the guests next week.
Sophie Butler is on the show.
Okay,
get her on the show next week. Dave Marhaj is on the show. Get him on the pod next week.
Okay, those two are next week's guests. I don't care if they like the Raptors or not. I know Dave does.
You might be teaching basketball to Sophie on that one.
That'd be great. That's a great podcast.
Yeah. You'll be good.
Hello. Can anyone around here speak basketball?
There it is.
It's the Confederacy of Dunks Basketball Podcast.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.